Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and other networks. Magical engineer Frank and I are ready to go. First part of the show, we're going to be talking about the body's most important organ. Got some new information on that. It may turn out to be something you didn't realize is the most important organ. I know most people think it's something it's not. We have a quack report, too, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees, seeking the Lord's face, and I'm on the time, because it grows short. Today's devotional puts us in Matthew 10, and it says, "Whoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, I will confess also before my Father, which is in heaven." So if you want the Lord Jesus to vouch for you in front of God, well, you know, seek the Lord's face and mind the time. And, you know, share what you learned in the Holy Scripture with as many people as you can. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Hey, Frank. Go, okay. So here we are. We're going to be talking about Washington State Supreme Court here. Rules that passing the bar no longer a requirement to be a lawyer. Yeah. This is Supreme Court of Washington, Friday, March 15th, approved several different ways for prospective attorneys to bypass the bar exam, and a decision that adds some momentum to the liberal-led movement to allow alternative paths to licensing aspiring lawyers. So this comes following a report in the Washington State Bar Licensure Task Force, which determined that the bar exam disproportionately and unnecessarily blocks marginalized groups from entering the practice of law and is, quote, at best minimally effective at ensuring competent lawyers. So the court approves three alternative ways instead of using the bar exam. It's called in concept, three alternative licensing pathways. And the first option is a new apprenticeship program for law school graduates. They can work under a supervision of a professional lawyer for 6 months and then submit a portfolio of the work for evaluation and complete three state-approved courses. Second option is for law students to complete 12 credits worth of skills coursework and 500 hours of legal work before graduating. They also must then submit a similar portfolio of their work to the state bar for licensing, and this allows these law students to graduate work as a legal intern. And last but not least in the quack report, Tennessee Senate passes bill to ban chemtrail spraying. This is a new clean air bill that was passed in Tennessee by their Senate, and it contains language that prohibits geoengineering, also known as chemtrails. So in order to create cleaner skies in Tennessee, the state Senate included language in the bill that prohibits the intentional injection, release, or dispersion by any means of chemicals, chemical compounds, substances, or an apparatus within the border of the state into the atmosphere, and with the express purpose of affecting temperature, weather, and intensifying sunlight. 24 senators voted in favor and 6 opposed it. Well, I guess a step, one little pinky step in the right direction. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Yeah, Frank, what did you think about the don't have to pass the bar now? You know, lawyer. I've been hearing from law professors. They're really concerned that the rule of law is just crumbling, and students are hearing you can rule by emotion now. Whatever, you know, I guess rocks your boat kind of deal. Oh, man, when the rule of law, there's the pillars of society just, it's like a big earthquake, and they go, boom. Well, let's get on to our body's most important organ. So depending on who you ask, you're going to get different answers to that question, which is the body's most important organ. So by far, it is your digestive system, because without a healthy digestive system, there will be disease and eventually death. So new research is shedding some life on this issue. This is research from Ben-Gurion University and New Negev Research University in Israel. They published their findings March 2024 in the Journal of Science, and they were supporting how important it is for a healthy gut is to humanity and for its survival. So due to the lack of healthy foods, we are kind of losing gut microbes that are considered really good bacteria. And when this occurs, our body has difficulty converting food to fuel for our cells. Now, the effects of a lack of adequate fuel inhibits metabolic functions and gives disease a foothold. So we want to try to stop that. Well, and, you know, fiber, they said, is the key in their research. Yeah, according to the Israeli research team, a lack of cellulose fiber that is found in your plants is to blame for digestive failures. Here's a quote from this research. They said, dietary fiber comes from vegetables and your whole grains, end of quote. So just about everyone has heard from their elders or even maybe their doctor say, you got to eat more fiber. But do you really understand why that matters? So fiber attracts water, and it swells up in the digestive tract. And this helps to preserve the good bacterial flora that are called gut microbiomes. Now, they like to convert food to fuel for you. So it also helps to press. When it swells up, it presses against the colon wall, and it stimulates nerve endings, so your colon moves the fecal matter out of the body. So transit time is very important for a healthy digestive system. A sluggish bowel can actually reabsorb toxins the body is trying to eliminate. So fiber, you know, should be a mainstay of our diet, as it has been for millennia. So without the cellulose from fiber, we lose the extracellular protein complex called cellulosome. Cellulosome. Say that three times fast, Frank. So a lack of your healthy fiber affects even the way you walk. So your gait or the way you walk is linked to your bowel health. So slow, congestive bowels that don't move every day, well, then you're going to have inadequate fiber, and it's going to give you a stiff and rigid walk or gait. If you have adequate fiber, it gives us a smooth gliding gait. So without healthy fiber, the gut flora, we lack the ability to digest foods properly, including having adequate cellulosamol enzymes to break down the digestive fiber so it can be digested. Here is a quote from the study. From Israel, they said, our diet is changing in industrialized societies and is far removed from the farms where food is produced. They go on to say, bottom line is cellulosomes turn fiber into sugars that feed the entire microbiome, and the Western culture is taking its toll on our gut microbiome, end of quote. And we also got to, you know, look at the food supply, because we can really destroy our gut microbiome by really not eating healthy, not eating the organic foods we should. So many areas of the industrialized world really have the worst foods that are genetically modified. They're full of pesticides. They are devoid of mineral and vitamin nutrients. So avoiding that is going to be helpful. And according to the research, our food sources have, quote, far removed us from our ancient ancestors. So they had healthier microbiomes, we're told. A quote from the Israeli researchers, they say, the cellulose-degrading bacteria are being lost from the human gut, especially in the industrialized societies, end of quote. They also said, this is GI Alliance. They said this February 2021. In the United States, 62 million Americans are diagnosed with a digestive disorder annually. That's a lot of people. So Digestive Alliance offered some stark statistics. They said 20 million Americans have chronic digestive disease. 25% of surgical operations are due to digestive disease. Digestive disease is the most prevalent cause for disabilities. As I said, digestive disease is third in total economic costs in the United States. And they said 14 million have acute digestive disease and includes a third of the malignancies. And digestive disease is one of the most serious health problems in the U.S. causing mortality. And lastly, colorectal cancer is the second cause of cancer death in the United States, 51,000 annually dying. So, of course, you know, modern medicine is really not in the business to, you know, prescribe diets and supplements to help correct the imbalance. So the problem typically then for a lot of patients is it's managed by drug and surgery therapy. So if you don't look for the cause of the disease, you're less likely to find a cure for it. So lifestyle is generally the cause, not all the time, but generally, and should be examined so you can find the problem. According to GI Alliance, they say the cause of natural history of many digestive diseases remains unknown. Well, we'll look at the lifestyle. Well, let's look for signs of a problem, because some digestive signals may start out very subtle, but over time they can expand to other symptoms. Let's look for signs such as, is there a change in bowel habits? Is there blood in the stool? Is there unusual or persistent abdominal gas or pain? Is there stringy or narrow-looking stool? Is the bowel not completely emptying? Also, frequent and persistent nausea or maybe vomiting, as well as constant fatigue and even anemia, which is your low blood count. So kind of, we think of our digestive health, it can go way beyond not having enough fiber. The digestive ailments that we see today come from eating foods that no longer have the adequate vitamins and minerals in them, as well as the fiber. So we need to look at the big picture when it comes to an imbalance. For instance, you want to avoid the re-engineered foods, also known as GMOs, genetically modified organisms. These foods are under a patent, and they have to have significant changes in order to qualify for the patent. Therefore, they're not the same as the original food. So these foods encourage food sensitivities, metabolic imbalances, inflammation, and immune system issues. Also, we got to look at digestive cleanses. So digestive cleanses, these are these tools that we can use to help the body remove a lot of foreign substances like your pharmaceutical residues and heavy metals and pesticides, dyes, all those things you don't really need, because toxins bog down the bowel and disrupt transit time and increase your risk of disease. So these two steps I just mentioned really help to cleanse and nourish your body, putting good food in, getting the toxins out, and that helps you be better equipped for your system to heal itself, okay? So you have a lot of power is the point. You know, a lot of people don't think they have any power, which they do. Oh, no. Well, the masses have been kind of conditioned to believe that wellness cannot simply be controlled by lifestyle. Yet diabetics are finding out that they can make some lifestyle changes and control their glucose and get off their prescription meds. So a lifestyle is not a diet. Diets, people quit, but lifestyles are permanent. It's a way of living. If a majority of the population understood this and exercised some proactive living, well, they could put the drug companies out of business. So if people understood how their immune system functions and how they could support it, well, they could defeat the flu in just 2 days without prescription or over-the-counter medicine. So that is empowering, and it is not rocket science to learn it. So if you learned how to brush your teeth and tie your shoes, you can learn how to protect your health. Knowledge builds upon itself, and before you realize it, you can tell if you have a viral or a bacterial infection. You'll get to know these things, and you will know what natural therapies you can use to help yourself. So you're going to be taking the power back, is what you're going to be doing. So using nutrition and natural therapies is not a trend. This is a human body responding to nutrition so it heals itself. So people have noticed, and natural therapies grew 20% from 2008 to 2018. So more people are checking into treatment options, and therefore healthcare behavior within the American public is changing. So today is it's estimated by the Pew Review that roughly one-third of the adult Americans are using some form of alternative therapies instead of conventional medicine. Now, I tend to study medical journal articles, and I see from time to time where they'll sometimes report that a natural product outperformed the drug therapy they were testing. But natural therapies, well, they don't pay the drug research, they don't build the hospitals, and they don't pay for the healthcare salaries. So therefore, this type of research is rarely published, and medical doctors won't see it, and the average patient will not know there's an effective, safe, and affordable option out there. So, however, that you can actually do some research on your own, check out your options, find some natural therapies that work for you. It may be a little trial and error until you find what your body likes, but it's well worth the time you spend on it. Give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. They have a free product catalog they can send you, and you will want to check them out. They specialize in immune support, toxin removal, metabolic support since 2000, so serving repeat customers since 2000. Give them a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972, or visit them at the website, The Power Herbs, thepowerherbs.com. So you'll be taking the power back for sure. Oh, you'll want to check out their bowel cleanse kit while you're there. So the body's most important organ is, well, it's the bowel. Okay, so think of the bowel, you know, as your excavation route for toxins and waste material. And just imagine a city, let's say New York, that, you know, all of a sudden the garbage men go on strike. What do you suppose happens? Well, garbage builds up in the streets and the alleys, and all of a sudden it attracts vermin, and you get disease, and it's just not a good scenario. So, you know, if the garbage isn't taken care of, well, you can run into some health problems, right? Same thing in our bodies, you know, with the evacuation route for the waste material. If it's backed up, if it's not moving in a timely manner, you could reabsorb toxins and feel really sick and come down with something you just don't want to come down with. So cleanse and nourish is my mantra. Put the nutrition in, get the toxins out, and you got most internal medicine issues pretty much taken care of. I know it sounds so simple, right? You leave it to God to make it simple for us so that we have a chance to live healthy lives, right, and be productive, serve the Lord, and you know, we shouldn't have to rely on a drug company to be healthy anymore. What'd you say, Frank? And even if things are working correctly, one cannot keep eating poison. This is true. I do see that occasionally where people go through the trouble of doing a toxin, they feel great, but then they backslide. Don't backslide. If you know it's bad for you, or at least that food is bad for your system, your body doesn't like it, you have a sensitivity to it, it causes inflammation. And we covered a big show on inflammation. And by the way, this information is going to be hitting our blog on the powerherbs.com website, and it'll be linked to the inflammation report. So you can see, you know, getting the big picture of how these things happen to you. You put the bad food in, the body reacts, you get inflammation. Inflammation is the first step for all diseases according to medicine. Okay? I don't care if it's eye disease, liver, pancreas, whatever. It's inflammation. Okay. So if you have sensitivities to foods, probably re-engineered ones, it's causing inflammation for you. And, gotta put that on the no-no list. Don't even look at it. I mean, Frank, since, you know, I figured out with the help of my, naturopath that I had a pretty long list of food sensitivities, and once I cut them out of the diet, my vision improved, my eye improved, so I don't have, that problem. So I go through the grocery store so fast these days because I'm not usually in the prepackaged food area. You know, I'm in the organic area, right? And it kind of limits me, but hey, I'm in and out 10 minutes, saving some money, by the way, and I'm healthier for it. And you will naturally drop probably about 10, 15 pounds if you're getting a lot of these foods that are making you bloat and swell and puffy and being inflamed. So the body's not liking it. So re-engineered GMO foods, we've been getting half-truths from the people that make that stuff and promote that stuff. So the animals didn't survive those studies very well, and we won't either. All right, so if you're on the powerherbs.com website, take advantage and sign up for the free online newsletters. They go out weekly. You have to have email to get them. So if you go to the Power Herbs, click on Books and Newsletters, and you can sign up for the newsletters there. The Health Quest will go out on Friday, and the American Survival on Tuesday, and they're absolutely free. And you'll get a lot of information on the wellness area that you may not get anywhere else. So it's, and then if you see something that you know will help a family member or a friend, you know, feel free to, you know, forward that information to them, because pass on the empowerment. That's what it is. Pass that baton of empowerment. So the healthier you are, the better you are. The better you feel. And you're getting smarter. You're getting so smart. Mm. All right. We got, a minute before we're going to take a break, Frank? Okay. We're going to be talking about, for the second part of the show, about some disruptors that can mess us up, totally mess us up. Besides the GMOs, there's some other things that we need to know about that can really mess up our metabolism, our hormone levels, and it could be something you're taking right now, something that seems so innocent that maybe was prescribed for you. I'd encourage people to check their meds out. I was just talking to someone today about, I think it was eardrops or something. I said, well, and she had all these issues, including a rash. And I said, well, what's the name of the drop? So she's on the phone with me, so I'm like Googling it. And you just go to your search engine, type in the name of whatever it is you're using, then put side effects. And I also like to check the WebMD link, because they'll have rare along with the common listing of side effects. And sure enough, rash, swelling, allergic reaction, definitely on the list. So eardrops can do that. Mm-hmm. So always check out your therapies very carefully before you use them, or you're going to be in for it. Then she went to the doctor, and she gets some sort of ointment. And then she did read the side effect list from the pharmacy, and she said, oh, my word, very bad. She could lose her vision using this ointment. You know? Okay. Do your due diligence. You have to do it. You do. If the buck stops with you. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Are you prone prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate the bumper. Okay. We are going to be talking about the disruptors. Oh, yes, the disruptors. So everything in the human body tends to be connected, and we cannot expect a poison or a toxin to just affect one area and not the rest of our body, which is why some medical treatments are designed to use toxins to destroy disease. They also, in fact, weaken healthy areas of the body and become diseased as well after the fact. So we are going to take a look at some important organs of our body that can easily be poisoned and make us gravely ill. So we don't usually hear a great deal about our glands and how important they really are. Actually, allopathic medicine routinely removes glands thought not to be vital to our health, such as your tonsils or even your appendix. So these glands are very important, and we've learned that our tonsils are the only gland that manufactures an antibody for polio. And the appendix is a gland that is your immune system of your bowel. It releases fluids to remove infections. So there is growing concern over the exposure of things like endocrine-disrupting chemicals that are often found have profoundly ill effects even in animal studies. For instance, fish from the Great Lakes, which were exposed to synthetic chemicals released into the water and then were eaten by birds, they became ill and showed signs of dysfunction. So these chemicals are found in animals, their offspring, and even in eggs. So we're going to take a look at this, see if we can find out a better way of protecting our glands and our health overall. So our hormone glands are important, and you may have heard medical experts or even naturopaths talk about the endocrine system glands. These glands have a special job, which is to manufacture, store, and regulate the use of hormone chemicals in your body. So the endocrine glands help with adrenaline, sex organ hormones in the testes or the ovaries, help with steroids or growth hormones, thyroid hormones, pancreatic hormones, blood sugar, brain hormone chemicals in the pineal and pituitary glands. So this is a system of glands that releases hormones through the blood system, and they travel into the body and they help regulate function. So there's also this range of chemicals that affects our glands in the body, so we can cause some very serious health risks and damage these glands. And let's give you some examples. Pesticides, for instance, have been deemed as safe by the EPA in certain levels, have been established for widespread agricultural use. However, new research has been taking a look at how deadly these pesticides, such as azarine, is in small, consistent doses. So there have been really no long-term studies that were done, and now science is discovering devastating effects of these chemicals. Pesticides can linger in the soil, and the soil get into groundwater, and pregnant women, if they drink poisoned groundwater, well, they can have devastating effects on the baby. And many pesticides in use that were introduced in the 50s are now, according to research, revealing that these pesticides are hormone disruptors, and even fertilizer act like fertilizer on cancer cells to help them grow. So pesticides, not good. Let's see, this is a 1997 study, University of Kentucky. They found that pesticide estrogen increased the risk of breast cancer. And in 2006, a study by Mills and Yang published in the Journal of Environmental Health that was involving California farm communities found that the herbicide methacloclol increased the risk of breast cancer. Okay. According to World Health, WHO, 2003, they said, in long-term dietary studies in rats, the pesticide's effect on our red blood cells in the parameters in females showed increased incidence of non-neoplastomic lesions in the liver, the lung, the thyroid, the testes, with a slight decrease in body weight were observed. So male and female rats affected by these pesticides. Also on the list is radiation. See, natural iodine is harmless to us, but radioactive iodine is an unstable isotope and is toxic to us. So when we encounter an unstable isotope, it emits beta radiation, which can travel through your tissue. And sometimes the isotope is gamma radiation, which can penetrate our entire system. And exposure to enough of these unstable isotopes can actually cause extensive molecule damage and free radicals and age us quite fast. So the radiation biology that they described absorbed doses by this energy deposited radiation per unit into our tissue on a grayscale or a rad scale. So what they were saying, it's important to realize that different tissues of your body can receive a different absorption rate or dose of the radioactivity, and the total dose of radiation to the body will be reflective in the integration of the dose for all the other tissues. Therefore, it's extremely difficult or to have this be controlled and accurate enough where these measurements of radiation either are entering your body, either by accident or through medical treatments or even long-term exposure, low-dose radiation, even from electronics, constant bombardment. So the best estimate for safe exposure through the EPA is from medical science, but it's still just an educated guess. Yeah. All right. Also on the list is plastics. They say your chemicals that make plastics called plasticizers are also known to disrupt your hormones, even in animal studies. So here is the most important thing to consider. There are endocrine disruptors, at least in your plastic, especially in hospital intravenous bags, pumping the plastic into you. Drugs are on the list. Prescribed medicines can also disrupt your glands and your hormones. A classic mishap by medicine happened in the 50s and 60s when pregnant women were given a synthetic hormone to prevent miscarriage called diethesobisterol, or DES. This toxic chemical failed to prevent miscarriage, and it also produced offspring that did not survive because it had cancer. Also, the women got reproductive organ cancer. And also impaired immune system. Also steroids, corticosteroids, prednisone, hormone replacement drugs, alcohol in excess can also disrupt the endocrine glands. So prescription drugs many Americans are taking that can negatively affect your endocrine glands are going to be your thyroid meds, diabetic medications like insulin, bone density medications, electrolyte and mineral prescriptions, anti-inflammatory drugs, growth hormone drugs, sex hormone drugs for like birth control and ED, and kidney hormone medications, anti-diuretic hormones, and your pituitary gland hormones in the brain. So, not good when you're going to tinker with the hormone there. Other things that can affect our endocrine system, pesticides, herbicides, radiation, plastic, you will find endocrine disruptors all in there, insecticides, especially termite-treating chemicals. Be very careful with that. Fungicides, industrial chemicals, detergents, resins. Just about every byproduct of the chemical industry, though, has endocrine disruptor agents in them. So when manufacturing a plant, when it's on fire, there is disrupting chemical properties and smoke fumes. These are chemical disruptors. That's why a lot of times you see these plants go on fire and then they want to clear out the neighborhood because can't breathe in that air. All right, what else we got? This hour is going fast, Frank. So what we really have to be on guard against is really any chemical that will disrupt a body function. So there are many synthetic chemicals that we can be exposed to every day, and we may want to determine and consider them as endocrine gland disruptors. So when these chemicals disrupt our glands, they can either mimic or block the hormones the glands produce and try to regulate. Too little or too much of these hormones will disrupt balance and function throughout. For instance, let's say the chemical magnifies or mimics hormones that you typically have. And what do you suppose the body's reaction is going to be? Well, the body will behave as if there are either too many hormones, and it'll reduce or try to stop making normal amount of hormones in an attempt to balance levels. However, the hormones our glands manufacture are different from the synthetic chemicals that are disguised as hormones. Yeah. Now, in the United States, there is over 2,000 chemicals that reach the market with no testing to evaluate toxicity, and the tests may be used, they're very simple tests, and they do not assess chemicals for gland disruptors. I remember, my spouse went ahead and approved a chemical to treat a house for termites that we were living in, and my daughter had a problem with her glands for a while. So, yeah, they are gland disruptors. Now let's look at some other factors. So some other things to consider that negatively affect your endocrine gland system. Certain illnesses and even stress. Stress can come in many forms. It could be bereavement, radiation treatments, surgery or trauma, allergic reactions. Can also be a negative impact of some kind, extreme temperature changes, and activity which tends to stress the adrenal glands all need to be factored. You have to look at them. So, for instance, an adrenal gland, they don't have an endless supply of hormones and are responsible for your fight or flight response. So thrill seekers, they have excessive bodybuilding steroids as well. All these things can stress your adrenal glands. So this can bring about adrenal gland or pituitary gland collapse, cancer, Cushing syndrome, adrenal gland suppression, a condition called phytochromiotoma, overproduction of adrenaline that causes cancerous tumors. So Addison's disease, which is an autoimmune syndrome, and the hyperaldosteronism, which is an excessive hormone produced and causing the adrenal glands to grow abnormally large. So there's a lot of things that can go on when we get our gland system, you know, under attack. Now, science is still studying our human body, as you know, and the gland system has a lot of mystery still. And the area of science is trying to understand our glands is called molecule genetics. So they're looking at mechanisms of the endocrine system as it releases or it relates to genetic disorders. So they're looking at all that stuff. And since the glands secrete hormones, chemical messenger hormones, which affect different receptors through your body, so science thinks every cell can be considered part of your endocrine system. It's called diffuse endocrine system. You want to keep in mind your toxic chemicals can pop up anywhere and affect you. For instance, there could be a situation where you can be sickened by something and you didn't change anything that you ate or you wore or you drank. Look at your environment. See if there was some sort of a chemical treatment recently. So toxic synthetic chemicals affect your body because we have glands everywhere, and one person can be affected one way and another a different way. So glands are important. Back in the 60s, you know, if you got melanoma, they went around removing all your glands, you know? Oh, you know, and part of it's really an immune system, part of your immune system they're removing. So we can significantly reduce our exposure to synthetic chemicals and save our glands and save ourselves the stress. Avoid a lot of plastic containers, foods that are treated with foods that get agricultural toxins on them, pesticides, herbicides, and that thing. Eat your organic foods. They're going to be safer for you, free of those chemicals. Avoid a lot of fatty foods, which can translate into fat storage in the body for synthetic chemicals to hide it. So be careful there. And make sure your seafood is from non-contaminated areas. I know farm-raised fish used to be preferred over ocean water that maybe had, a nuclear meltdown in it. But a lot of the farm-raised fish now is eating GMO fish meal, so that's not good now either. So you got to be real careful with your fish. So a lot of times herbs for your glands, one of the herbs that I like for glands is mullein. It tends to soothe glands. And when you take the stress out of a gland, it's much easier to feed it nutrition to help it balance and heal. So mullein is one of my favorites. If you add some ginseng to mullein, it magnifies the power of the mullein. I love ginseng. It has the synergistic action, and it just gives your other herbs a little boost. So mullein's excellent for glands, whether it's prostate gland, thyroid gland. It's just great for glands. So mullein is on my list, a little staple herb that I like to keep on hand. I'll use mullein with prostate herbs, and I'll use it for thyroid herbs and stuff like that. So it's excellent to have on hand. So if you're looking for Mullen, give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. They have that and a whole bunch of other stuff. So if you're not sure what they have, definitely get their free catalog or visit their website. The website is thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, or give them a call at 866-229-3663. They have toxin removal herb kits and things like that. If you're trying to purge toxins, there are some excellent ways to do that. The Power Herbs, give them a call. All right, so we got a few minutes. So we're going to be talking about diapers for a little bit, not necessarily for babies. So diapers can be an indicator of national health. Yeah, check the markets. Growth in the manufacturing product line of diapers for adults, for instance. So a market that is quickly expanding is disposable diaper industries. Kimberly Clark has made a fortune selling disposable baby diapers, but there's this shift now. They're selling adult diapers. They're selling more to adult diapers than they are baby diapers. Okay. So Clark's making a lot of money. Fewer Americans tend to have children now, so they've shifted to the adult market. Advertisers are sensitive to the stigma that can come with adults having incontinence issues, and so they're offering direct sales of, you know, unmarked packaging, so the adult diaper industry is a bit subtle and sensitive there. So the product that also has dropped the diaper description, they don't label it as a diaper, a disposable in briefs. That's what, yeah, disposable briefs is typically what you see. Now, the latest market analysis is a lot of these ads you see show female versions having, you know, different designs on the disposable briefs. They're looking more like regular undergarments is the point. So incontinence is a big deal now. More adults become an incontinent. Why is that? My grandparents were in their 80s, and they were not incontinent, okay? So the diaper industry is making sure advertising makes adult diapers appear to be normal, and they're working hard with the discreet advertising to remove the embarrassing stigma to, you know, buying a pack of diapers. Now, Kimberly Clark started the incontinence awareness with a charity, actually. Here is Jay Goliab, Kimberly Clark's adult care business section. He said, "We're trying to make the product more normal and even fun with real people in our ads saying, hey, I have bladder leakage and it's no big deal," end quote. Well, physically it is. And what if you could fix it? So you know that there are serious health problems with regards to incontinence when adult diapers outsell all your household paper products, such as napkins, paper towels, toilet paper, and paper plates. Okay? According to the U.S. Euromonitor International, in 2016, adult diaper sales were $1.8 billion, and they forecast it to be growing by 48% to the $2.7 billion by 2020, that was back then. Now it's even 2.6 growth over that in just 4 short years. So we've got billions of dollars being spent on diapers. And you know, Frank, guess what nation uses the most disposable diapers? Can you take a guess? I know people would say, oh, it's America. It's a big nation, big nation. Nope, not the United States. It is Japan, that teeny-weeny island. Yeah, because people that don't have incontinence over there are wearing them. I'm not kidding. The younger generation doesn't want to stop and use the restroom. They're very busy people. Okay, so as the birth rates are falling and life, people seem to be living longer, according to medicine, you know, you're going to see more of these diaper products. Now, here's a list of some people that use these diaper products that may not even have incontinence. Long-distance drivers, pilots, truckers, NASCAR drivers, international pilots, they wear them. Don't have time to use the restroom. Stock exchange employees, oh yeah, can't miss the sale. Also, emergency responders, firefighters, security detail, etc., as well as professional athletes. Right? Right. Frank says, that's crazy. Oh, yeah, NASA. Yeah, you're going up in the shuttle. You know, there's a bathroom stop there. And like I said, the younger people are using them. Recent research also shows young adults in their 20s using incontinence undergarments, some too a medical necessity, the rest are not. Conditions that can interfere with normal bladder control are affecting young adults in some instances. It could be a neurological disorder like MS or Parkinson's or a stroke, spinal cord injury, evasive pelvic surgeries, or congenital birth defect. So this is where the younger folks would be, you know, buying up these garments. So the Asian market, though, is into their disposable underwear because they simply really don't want to take the time to go to the bathroom. And in China and Japan, the landfills are full of adult diapers. They outnumber the baby diapers. So adult diaper manufacturers are wanting to tap a larger share of the consumer market. And back in 2016, a bladder support product that is worn internally to prevent bladder leaks rather than absorb them. So they're looking at other things. They're pushing heavily these stress urinary incontinence products on patients in the hospital as well. Also, there's some medications that actually can give you an incontinence-induced situation. Antidepressants, allergy antihistamines, decongestants, narcotic painkillers, alpha blockers, sedatives or hypnotic drugs, antipsychotic meds, loop diuretics, calcium channel blockers, oral estrogen like your birth control or your menopause stuff, and sleep aids can all give you incontinence drug-induced problem. And it's not really your body, it's the medicine. What'd you say, Frank? They must be putting something in the food they know will cause mass incontinence. I don't know, Frank. But and watch the caffeine and the alcohol, because that'll create, you know, a diuretic effect on you. So watch that. But I'm running out of time, so don't forget, the folks at Apothecary Herbs do have some cleanses, and one of them is a kidney bladder cleanse kit. So you may want to kind of check that out, investigate it, and see if investing in one of those kits can help you get out of the adult diaper market. Give them a call at 866, it's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, The Power Herbs, The Power Herbs. If you're outside the U.S., 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972, thepowerherbs.com. I'm out of time, but the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.